You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello and welcome to our Aston Villa Facebook page and our Claret and Blue podcast, where I'm Matt Kendrick, for those who don't recognise my stupid bald face. I'm joined by our Villa expert, Ashley Preece. Ash, I think we've been set the task of trying to get stuck into the European Super League, which I know is a bit of a shock because you were off yesterday and I've had a week off. I was expecting to wade through my emails and just kind of, you know, do a bit of admin.
Yeah. Nice and easy, that's it, yeah.
Have a mad lantern to give six greedy owners a bit of a kick in, which, you know, let's face it, it's more fun doing that than wading through admin anyway. Listen, this is a Villa podcast. We're on a Villa Facebook channel, so let's talk about it in the context of Aston Villa, first of all. Christian Perslow yesterday, never backward in coming forward, to be fair to Perslow, in terms of standing up for the club and looking out for the club's interests and the interests of the fan base. What did you make of his comments, Ash? I think the one that stood out was he called it grotesque, didn't he, I believe?
Yeah, he didn't hold back. I just liked how quick he was to respond to it all. He came out on BBC Radio 4 and told what he thought of it, to be honest. Yeah, grotesque, what they're all doing, and fair play to Perslow. He's got a knack of doing that. His timing's really good. He's an opportunist when he comes out and he says all the right things. And I think Villa fans resonated with him. I think totally in agreement with him. It's totally wrong what everyone's doing. And look, I've said this before, Aston Villa have been around longer than 12 clubs. So, and then Perslow's got it nailed on. So they shouldn't come back for me, but we'll get stuck into that. But Perslow's comments, yeah, resonated with me. Total thumbs up, and yeah, hit the nail on the head.
I've got to be a little bit careful here, not to be, because we're accusing these owners of being self-serving and not caring about the greater good. But my first instinct is, you know, let's cope without them. Let's kick the six out. And it sounds really harsh because these football fans, these genuine football fans from each of those six clubs, who oppose this as vehemently as the rest of us, probably even more so because it's their clubs at the centre of it. But, you know, to me, there should be no way back. I just think, you know, if you want to go and create this kind of separate entity and this separate platform where you play once a week and you become richer and richer and richer, that's fine. Use that wealth within your new platform to do as you please with it. But don't think that you can then come back and use that wealth to influence our league. You know, how is that fair? How is that fair that you can make all this money and yet you can still have a free run to get, you know, to be the biggest and richest club? It just makes me sick. It just makes me sick. And the fact that it's all been done so cloak and dagger. I think I wrote yesterday that if it is a kind of bargaining ploy with UEFA to try and screw a little bit more out of UEFA. I think I put, it's like going into Dragon's Den and kind of, you know, poking Thea Pavridis in the eye or having a dump on Deborah Meaden's little desk. It's just, you know, it's just no shame, is that? And I'll tell you something that I wanted us to talk about, and I'm conscious that you're on this with me, Ash, rather than me just going off on one of my big long rants, is this idea. Have you heard this phrase, legacy fan? That they're talking about traditional football fans now. They're splitting fans into legacy fan, boring old kids like us who actually like a packed stadium, like the atmosphere, like the laughs, like the
like
crack
a
with our
pie.
Mates.
Yeah.
Definitely like a balty pie. So it's us versus the fans of the future. Basically, the kind of armchair fan that's got no real allegiance with any of these places, with any of the history, any of the heritage, and almost saying, we don't care about you legacy fans anymore. Yeah. It doesn't matter. We've proven that even in empty stadium, you know, you told us that fans were the heartbeat, that football is all about the passion on the terraces. We've shown that we can market our product even in empty stadiums. You don't care anymore. And to me, it's there's not even a pretense about it anymore. They're not even trying to hide their disdain for us. It makes me sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen Florentino Perez's interview. He's came across really just we're not bothered. We're going to go ahead with it anyway. We need all this. And the kids are all on the gaming anyway. Football's boring, he said, basically. But simply not the case. Just every Villa fan out there, it's just not the case. And yeah, like the cloak and dagger, it's all secrecy behind the scenes. And it's all been agreed, gentlemen's agreements. Just stinks for me. But yeah, looking forward, I don't know what the outcome is. Like you say, kick them out. And does that mean Villa in Europa League? Then roll on for me. But we'll take advantage of that. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, it's lots of questions. I'm due to speak with Dean Smith later. I wonder what the feeling is amongst the players and the staff at Villa as well. And it's just uncertain times now, isn't it? It really is real that they've gone COVID it and a couple of weeks' time, who knows? But yeah. I don't know what to say about it really, without going off on one like Carragher and Neville, and but yeah, just stinks really. Can't stand the concept and totally out of sync with the fans. Yeah,
I think to me it shows kind of delusions of grandeur that these six clubs think that they're so important that the rest of football or the rest of English football can't continue without them. I mean, how arrogant do you have to be like that? Because you know we've seen not for the right reasons, but we've seen Aston Villa, a great club with great heritage, you know, a massively decorated club in terms of what we've won, albeit a lot of it in black and white and sepia tinted photographs rather than full colour claret and blue. But we've seen Villa tumble out the Premier League, and much as it hurt us, Premier League continued without us. Do you know what I mean? Leeds were gone for many years. Premier League continued without them. Nottingham Forest, you know, who won the European Cup twice. They've been out of the Premier League. Don't want to. We've got Matt Davies, who's our admin today, who's a Forest fan. So I don't want to hammer the misery for him too much more. But they've been out of the Premier League for God knows how long, and the Premier League continues without them. So why do Manchester United and Liverpool and Arsenal and Chelsea and Tottenham and whoever else I've missed, Man City? Why do they think that we can't cope without them? It's just it's ridiculous. You mentioned in some of the quotes that have come from Perez overnight. I thought of, you know, when you see these kind of mock memes and these mock, you know, these mock quotes that there's some fake quotes attributed to Klopp that came out last night. I thought these Perez ones were fake at first. You thought, how can somebody have that much front?
No, you know, serious.
You know, it's, I mean, I suppose what you would say to him is at least, you know, I wasn't particularly pleased or reassured by anything he came to say, but at least he put his head up and spoke. Yeah. All the others are just kind of hiding behind kind of two or three paragraphs of nonsense and blaming the pandemic, and almost as if the pandemic is responsible for them losing a couple of noughts this year, rather than the fact that they're mismanaging their own clubs. Yeah, it's so. In terms of Aston Villa, what do you think? I don't want to put words in the guy's mouth, but what do you think Smith will be like today? You're in the presser with him promoting the Man City game today. What do you think his stance will be?
I think he won't go too much into detail about it. I think he'll have his view on it. He'll say he'll be against it. I think he'll follow Perzo's mantra in that sense. Well, I think he'll distance himself from it, to be fair. Smith doesn't like to go too gung-ho on comments out of Villa's hand. So I see him taking a step back and just mirroring what all the football fans are saying and siding with them, because let's get it wrong. It's not on, is it, really? And I think he might mention a Villa comment saying, listen, Villa long been founders of the Football League, so and we played to the tune. Villa went down, come back up. And yeah, making it for a good competition this season and aspiring to be. A lot of the clubs are in there, but the fact they're breaking away, yeah, it's interesting. So I just wonder what the players are all thinking, to be honest. I've seen Jack Grealish, he retweeted Ozil's strong comments about it, like what's football becoming. So yeah, I think fans are against it, I think players are against it. You've seen James Milner last night, he spoke very well about it. He didn't hold back, he said totally wrong. So yeah, it's. next few days are going to be so interesting, Matt. I don't know, we've got the meeting today. Purslow's at the meeting today with the 14 of the Premier League clubs. So I'll be chewing the fat and we'll see that they might all come together and say, see you later, lads. We'll carry on with that. Yeah, we'll reform. I loved Everton's statement today. Very passionate. Called them all out to what they are, to be fair. So if anyone see the Everton statement, have a read of that. But I didn't know what they, yeah, they fired straight from the hip. So, yeah, Purslow's already come out and said it. As for Dean Smith's stance today, I think he will be against it, but I don't think he'll go too strong on it. But we'll see.
Just noticed something in the comments saying as Ash being on a sunbed because you're looking a bit bronze, man. I don't get that. People just think it was my blood pressure if they saw me with a bit of colour in my face. So where's the tan from?
Just a beer garden's worth, haven't I? I've popped for a couple of beers. I played football Sunday as well, so that helps, but yeah.
a nice Sutton beer garden tan, that is. Yeah. Forget your Mediterranean holidays. No, you're just saying about the players and the managers. I think it's really awkward and uncomfortable at the moment because this has all been kind of cooked up behind the backs of the players and of the managers, and yet they're the ones who are having to front it. And I thought Milner was bang on. You know, somebody said, would James Milner, would a young player on his way up, you know, a young 20-year-old breaking into the first team, would have spoken as boldly about it as James Milner? Now, probably not, because the club probably wouldn't have put up a young player like that to talk anyway. But we need more voices of reason like James Milner. We need more people to stand up and call it out for what it is. I think Patrick Bamford, who is not particularly popular in these parts for reasons of his past meetings with Villa. But I thought he was very honest as well, saying that, you know, this becomes top of the agenda when people are going to be financially hurt as a result of it. Yet there's big issues like racism. We saw the violent abuse that Tyrone Mings got again a couple of days ago that are just swept under the carpet. And to me, this needs to be, without me getting on my pedestal and it becoming too much of a kind of soapbox and a rant, this needs to be a line in the sand. And I'm probably a dream, you know, it's probably a pipe dream that I think we can use this as an opportunity to reclaim our game as best we can. Because to me, and I mean this with all the greatest respect to fans of United, Liverpool, et cetera, the Premier League and English football can still be a compelling spectacle without those clubs. You know, it might mean that some of the broadcast rights have to be adjusted. And it might mean that clubs and owners and even football fans have to reassess their expectations a little bit. But I don't want this. You know, this. It sounds horrible, this, because I'm sure lots of people would wish we could put this genie back in the bottle and go back to Saturday evening when this wasn't a concern. But to me, I don't want it back in the bottle. I want this to be used to shine a light on all that's wrong with the game, and to, you know, put better checks and balances in place. I mean, how can the Premier League be governed by the clubs itself? How is there not a kind of body that is strong enough and has the courage of its convictions and is not money motivated itself? How is that organisation not in place by now to uphold the kind of sporting integrity of this competition? Am I just kind of naive? Am I just kind of wondering back to the day where we could leave our back doors open and all that kind of thing? I mean, you could buy a packet of Woodbines, a mortgage, and a new car for half a crown. Am I stuck in the past to think that we can't find a place where we can find some kind of integrity again?
No, I think we need a governing body above all the clubs. To be honest, it's crazy that the 20 Premier League clubs govern the Premier League. And they've all got the best interests at heart. They want to do the best for the clubs, and they don't really care about, well, the big six don't care about anyone else, and they're breaking away. But yeah, like you say, I weren't around for the first old division map, but I bet that was a good laugh as well. And I think we should move forward, line in the sand. They've come out, they've been called out, and I think we should move on without them. I'm 14, promote some of the championship teams. How about Rangers and Celtic in there as well for them? Because I've seen that banded about. There's loads of options to have, and listen, Villa playing against like, I mean, your Brightons and what, it's not a bad thing. Villa Park's going to be still packed out every week next season, hopefully. And get the crowds back there, and it'll be war for ducks back for us, I think.
What, I know you've not got a crystal ball, Ash, but what do you think will happen. And this is going to be a kind of a fast moving situation. You know, we've already hearing whispers that some of the clubs have been shocked by the backlash, which if they've been shocked by the backlash, it shows they're even more out of touch than we thought. You know, what do you think the outcome will be? Do you think it will happen?
Based on the Perez comments overnight, he's saying they've all signed. Signed till delivered. It's all happening. And they might come out Sunday evening as well. It's been going on for weeks, mustn't it? It's all agreed. These are the 12 teams. I've had an email from the Super League saying this is the format. We're going for it. I can see it happening. I really can. It's a mad scramble now towards the end of the season over the summer. It's going to start in August, isn't it? So the Euros coming up. There's so much happening. Where's this? Villa got 8 games left. Where's the integrity now in this competition? Now we've got Man City tomorrow. I think Villa are going to wear them T-shirts tomorrow as well, I've been told. I'm going to earn it. But yeah, I just don't know where we go from here. What's the point of this season now? If they're all leaving, what's the point of playing Man City tomorrow? I don't know where we go from here. But looking ahead, what I'd do off the cuff, I'd probably get rid of the 6, have the 14 in there. And I promote through the championship clubs, the top 6 of the championship. I'd have them all in there. I'd scrap the playoffs, perhaps. Do you know what I mean? I'd go with that. And have 20 back in and just keep moving clubs up. I don't know. And go from there. I think it'd be sound. I think you have there's some top clubs in the championship, don't forget. And I'll be buzzing to be back. And the grounds will be sold out every week. I think it'd be good fun. Like, I'm a Villa fan as well. And I love the championship. It's good crack winning every week. And the passionate fan base in there. And I think a bit of the Premier League, taking a bit of that, no bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's got to be a case where this is where the likes of UEFA, FIFA, the Premier League, the FA have to kind of stand up strong now. And do they hold their nerve? Do they hold their nerve knowing that if this were to take its natural course, then these clubs are already signed up for a Super League. They think they can have the cake and eat it. The footballing authorities should say, no, you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't just pop back to the Premier League once a week with your kind of super, super rich squads and think you can just kind of, you know, treat this place like a hotel, for want of a better phrase. They need to say that. But you can see within the corridors of powers there, they're going to get nervous thinking, well, actually, you know, without those 6 clubs, that's really going to weaken our hand at the negotiating table with Sky and BT Sports. You know, maybe just having these kind of bad boys along, even if it's not on our terms, maybe that's the best way to make sure this gravy train keeps rolling. And that's my big concern, that they just cave. They just cave too easily. And for me, nobody's a winner there other than those six custodians of the revolting 6. And you know, to me, I didn't believe it. I've switched my phone off a little bit because I've had the week off and I've just been knocking about watching Netflix and ambling around the garden and garden centres and stuff like that. I didn't really believe it when it started breaking on a Sunday. I thought it was another kind of project, big picture, where these people would be swatted away and put back in the box quite quickly. And it was only when those kind of joint statements started dropping at about 11:30 on Sunday night that I thought, oh my God, this is actually happening. This is a danger. This is actually going to happen. And even the timing of those statements, I mean, were those statements put out to serve a worldwide global audience? Were they put out to kind of bury bad news from a English point of view? It's just the whole thing stinks. Listen, I'm sure we'll talk about Super League and the impact of it on the wider football community and on Aston Villa specifically over the next couple of days and weeks. And we'll hear from Dean Smith and we'll hopefully hear from a couple of Villa players around the Man City game as well. But let's just put that big massive thing that's dominating all our thoughts to one side for a minute. And we've got a football match tomorrow night. So it's Villa versus Man City. Ash, what are your thoughts going into that game?
It's all eyes on that, really, because Man City, the breakaway team, and Villa, the founding members of the Football League. So there'll be headlines galore tomorrow. Late kickoff, Villa Park. Villa got a wretched record with Man City in recent times. 6-1, wasn't it, last year, and in the January, and yeah, got thumped. Continued. I don't think we've won there since that famous Wyman goal in front of a packed house. But yeah, no Trez, no Grealish, perhaps. Grealish rated at 50-50 for tomorrow, but we'll find out prognosis on him later. Dean Smith's press conference this afternoon. And yeah, it'd be interesting what Dean Smith does. He didn't bring Keane and Davis on Liverpool. Just Liverpool seems ages ago now. Compared, we had no game at the weekend. But yeah, there's options to be had. 8 games left. We're obviously going to turn them over. I think the old footballing universe will be achieving Villa on tomorrow. So yeah, we'll see. Elsewhere, Al Ghazi is probably the most likely one to come in for Trezeguet, who's out for the season now. I'd like to see some of the young lads come in. I think they've shown more than enough to be amongst the bench and for little cameos to step up. So yeah, elsewhere, I think it's as you were, to be honest. Martinez, Cash, Cancer, Mings, Target, and then Douglas Luiz against his former club. McGinn's playing. They need to be a bit more threatening up front. So can they do that? We'll see. But man, as Chelsea did on Sunday, they stole for them. I think Villa will look to do the same. Would be a big shock tomorrow given Villa's form, but who knows? But yeah, we'll see. Hopefully Watkins has a good game against them because their defence is a bit suspect. But yeah, it's just totally throwing me to be honest. There's a game tomorrow amid all this Super League stuff. It's just crazy, really. We'll see, Matt. But yeah, I think everyone will be supporting Villa tomorrow, mate.
Just in terms of Trezeguet, because I've not spoken to you since that news came through. Villa have been so unfortunate with these kind of serious kind of ACLs. Obviously, we had Heaton and Wesley, didn't we, on the same day?
Yeah.
I mean, that does seem like ages ago. And now Trezeguet. It's one of... I always feel guilty. It's a bit like Conor Hourihan, you know. It's Trezeguet kind of easily slips into scapegoat territory for me. And it's probably, you know, people are probably going to accuse me of being two-faced and hypocritical now. Now that we're without him. Oh, yeah, you respect Trezeguet now, Matt, don't you? But, you know, I think in terms of what Trezeguet has brought to Villa, and we know, if I'm being completely blunt, I think Villa need an upgrade on perhaps all three of their wingers next season. Although saying that, we could climb six places without doing a single thing. But, you know, I do feel for Trezeguet because for me, he's the kind of guy who epitomises what it's been to Dan Rollinson about this the other week, and I think somebody asked the question. Trezeguet like plays like he's won a competition, and I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think somebody said it as an insult, saying he's just like a fan, he's not good enough. But to me, I took it as a compliment. He plays like he's won a competition. He plays like he cares. He plays like he wants to get every last kind of drop of the ability that he's got. I wish him all the best. You know, what we're talking, Ash, a year potentially with that kind of injury.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be as bad as Wesley's, to be fair. So Heaton was out for ten months to eleven months. So you're looking about that, Matt. Yeah, I think ACL, no good. He was at Bodymore start this week alongside Grealish in the treatment room, and yeah, long road back for Trez. I think hopefully he recovers quicker than Heaton and Wesley because they was out for considerable time. But yeah, 6 months. Ulanga, so yeah, he's set for a spell for the sideline. So I think Villa will bolster that position in the summer. He'll be forced to be fair. So yeah, I'm with you, Matt. A lot of Trezeguet's work, right? I think he brings a lot to the team in that respect, and he squeezes opposition. I remember last season, he had his best games against the likes of Arsenal and City away, and he can be a threat and a pest. But yeah, his goals record hasn't been too good this season. He only scored two in that one game, but he seems to come on strong as well when Villa need him most, like he did last season. He comes on strong in the springtime, and yeah, I put a tweet out the other week when I heard of the news. He's done a lot for Villa, really. He volunteered into a cup final, he kept us up last season with that 3-goal flurry he scored, and he's a willing squad member for me. Was it £9 million? Okay, Villa, he's not like a 20, £40 million player, is he? So you can't expect that of him. But what you can expect from him is grafting, a bit of grit in there, and put his whole body on the line for the Clantbury cause, and you can't knock him for that, to be honest. So, yeah, devastating shame, really, and others have to step up now, and Al Ghazi, perhaps, he's probably wanted to come in, but, yeah, we'll see.
Let's have a quick word about Jack Grealish, because I think me and you are both old enough to remember him being in action, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Who's he? Can't remember him, but he brought in the wise last game. Wasn't he? He was rubbish. So,
do you think it's all a bluff? Do you reckon he's just been dropped because of bad form? Is that what it is?
I think so, yeah.
So, listen, this is a saga that can run and run, can't it? The Jack Grealish situation. Yeah. I think for greedily and selfishly, I want him back just to give the season a little bit of a spark again, so we can get some kind of pleasure and enjoyment. A bit harsh on the rest of the team, that is, but get a bit more pleasure and enjoyment out of the matches. But I also want him to have a decent run up to making sure he's in that squad for the Euros, because I know it's a real big dream of his. You're saying, Ash, that we've heard that he might be 50-50 for tomorrow night. Obviously, Dean Smith will come out with a cryptic clue this afternoon, I'm sure, from his press conference. But I don't want to be the doom monger and the conspiracy theorist, but we do think he's going to be back soon, don't we? This is not a kind of cover up that, you know, he's out for even longer than he's been.
Yeah, well, the penciled in date is May 1st at Everton, so. I mean, that's two games where I got Man City and West Brom this week. But if he's not back for Man City, I think West Brom could be the better one. But it's just guesswork, isn't it? We don't know how Yushin's holding up. A weekend off last week would have been the world of good for him. He's been at Bodymore working on it ever since. It's just a really niggling shin injury. It's becoming a bit of a concern now. He's having a big injury every season, it seems, the promotion year. He's had for 13 games there. And now this year, so, yeah, a bit of a concern. His England hopes are... Yeah, he's desperate to get to England, isn't he? It's all he ever speaks about. It's all he wants to do. So hopefully that doesn't have a detrimental effect on him, but it can't be long now. How many games have we been out? 8, is it? Since Brighton away. And yeah, we missed him. I'm telling you. So, but yeah, Man City, West Brom, Everton. He's got to be back by Everton, surely. And then we've got Man U, Palace, Tottenham and Chelsea to finish off. So you'll be able to inject that bit of spark, like you say, Matt, because Villa need it desperately, don't they? It's petering out like you wouldn't believe. So, yeah, couple more weeks, if that, and he'll be back in business, hopefully, mate.
Did I see him on Instagram singing a Glenn Whelan, Lionel Richie song?
That's right, yeah.
Have I dreamt that? Did I actually see that?
Yeah. He's working with Ollie Stevenson on the Watt bikes, isn't he? So,
that was it, yeah. Don't give up the day job, Jack. Jesus Christ, I thought my voice was bad. What I wanted to speak to, Ash, and we'll wrap this up in a couple of minutes, was, and I know you're a massive advocate for the kids coming through the ranks at Bodymore Heath, and we've spoken before about whether Villa are kind of drifting. I mean, I don't call it mid-table mediocrity. I call it drifting gloriously in mid-table compared to what we've gone through in previous years. Yeah. So we know that the season's kind of ebbing and flowing towards its conclusion. Who knows? 10th place might be good enough for Champions League. But do you think now, and it's easy for us to say, isn't it, us kind of, you know, fans with pens or us fans in the pub or whatever, do you think it is the time just to kind of give some of the kids 10 minutes here and there, or get them on the bench and give them a feel for what match days are like?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Deesmith had done it this season. He's had Jaden Philogene-Bedos, the 19-year-old winger. He's been amongst the squad. Carney Chukwuka has been on the bench. Kane Kessie has been on the bench. And Jacob Ramsey's emerged this season, hasn't he? He's threw Jacob Ramsey in. He had 13, 14 Premier League appearances for a 19-year-old. So he's not afraid to do it. But I'd like to see more, especially with the season out, games left. I'd like to give him more game time. We haven't seen him on the pitch yet, apart from Jacob. So, yeah, Kane Kessie right back. He's in the shout. No Trezeguet tomorrow. Could you put Cash ahead of him? Or do you know what I mean? I know it's Man City, isn't it, obviously, but when the game's coming up. Louis Barry's another one for me. I've been watching him closely. I really like him. He's a goal scorer. I think he's been playing under-18s for the last 4 years now. So is he going to progress? We spoke about this in the Q&A last week about perhaps loaning him out next season just to give him that first-team experience. And I said probably a Dutch or a German club would probably suit him best, to be honest. So he's a player with good pedigree. He's 16 in goals in 18 games. He's scoring for fun. And Dean Smith and John Terry are watching him at Villa Park, lighting it up. So, yeah, I think they're doing well. Give the kids a chance for me. I think, yeah, bring them on for the last 15, 20 minutes. Get him in alongside McGinn and Mings on match days and bed them in ahead of pre-season and then go from there. You don't know until you until you try and do you? So yeah, I think Jacob Ramsey's been the prime example. I think he's stepped up really well this season, to be honest with you. I didn't see that happening, to be fair. And Hurahan was out the door, wasn't he, over Christmas time, and Jacob got ahead of him. So plenty of talent at Villa. I mean, into the quarterfinals of the FA Youth Cup now. They've been smashing it in the under-18s league and Premier League too. So all the fans know all the names now. They've got little star-studded names there. Aaron Ramsey, Chuck Mawuka, Kessler, Louis Barry, get them all in, yeah. I'd like to see some of them bedded in before the end of the season. Give them some game time. Give them their Premier League debuts for sure, Matt. I think it's worth a gamble considering where Villa are on the table now. And I think it'll help develop them, yeah.
No, that's brilliant, Ash. We'll wrap it up there. Thanks to all of you who've tuned in via Facebook Live. This will be posted across all our usual podcast platforms as well. So feel free to go along, say nice things about us or say nasty things about me, but say nice things about Ash. It's Villa versus Man City tomorrow night. We'll get some football back underway. This Super League thing's not going to go away anytime soon. Going to have more twists and turns than Spaghetti Junction. And we'll try and bring you the coverage of it from an Aston Villa point of view. But until next time, thanks for joining us. Thanks for your support. And up the Villa.
Thank you for listening to Claret & Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please do let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, up the Villa.